Okay, thank you. We are excited to present to you our preliminary findings on our larger project, which is funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, with Dr. Carolyn Tucker as the principal investigator. Presenting with me is Mrs. Alicia Robinson and Kelsey Harbauer. And before we begin, there's no financial relationships to disclose. And from this point, Alicia will continue.
Thank you and good afternoon. So essentially we were looking at whether there are characteristics of urban and rural healthcare sites that may in fact impact the healthcare experience by patients who attend those sites. So essentially if we're considering the patients who are in rural communities, we have to consider some of the barriers to pursuing healthcare that they have in the first place. And those barriers include things such as longer commutes to healthcare sites. Essentially, there is less diversity in the actual availability of healthcare within rural sites, so there is less options for those patients, as well as less transportation options. There's usually much more limited public transportation. It's very possible that there are more barriers for people in those communities as a result of that. In addition, there can be issues with the quality of care, as well as being physically, as well as socially isolated from other people in their community, as well as some unique financial constraints, again, because there is a lack of a lot of different resources in rural communities. So as I mentioned, the purpose of our study was to determine if there are associations for patients that were related to, number one, the location of their healthcare site. So if they predominantly attended a healthcare site that was either in a rural or an urban area, and the levels of perceived cultural sensitivity in their healthcare. So as we could discuss, that's been found in the literature very extensively. Perceived cultural sensitivity, or how well you feel your healthcare provider can address your needs or the needs of either low income or racially and ethnically diverse patients, is very much tied to patient satisfaction and also is tied to health outcomes. So things such as patient adherence or treatment adherence, medical adherence, et cetera. So again, we were looking at levels of perceived cultural sensitivity in the healthcare environment, and patients were really asked to assess levels of cultural sensitivity across three dimensions. So number one, they were rating the actual cultural sensitivity perceived by their healthcare provider, and we were talking about primary care providers in this instance. But they were also asked to rate the actual cultural sensitivity they experienced by office staff. So when they originally would walk into the, you know, healthcare site, who it is that greets them right off the bat, who they're signing into, who it is that's facilitating, how long that their wait times are to see their healthcare provider. So they were also evaluating office staff. And lastly, they were evaluating aspects of the clinical environment itself. So for example, one of the things that we'll definitely mention later on is if it was a perhaps Spanish-speaking patient, if they felt that there were brochures or information available to them in their native language in the actual healthcare site itself. So this was a nationally conducted study, and we had 56 healthcare sites who actually completed data collection with us. The recruitment was very much a multi-tiered effort. So our principal investigator, Dr. Carolyn Tucker, has affiliations with many national organizations, including the American Medical Association, the National Medical Association, as well as others. So that was definitely a very big route by which we recruited potential sites as well as actual sites who completed the study with us. And another method by which we recruited sites really was just cold calling, sort of establishing databases of national state health departments, county health departments, and really trying to get as many feelers out there as possible through listservs, through email forums, all of those kinds of things. So essentially, we have a fairly diverse actual data collection set, and once we had established the potential sites, which wound up being roughly 665 sites, I believe, contacted us for information, we sort of proceeded to the next step, which was really providing as much information as we could. So really explaining what the data collection process was, which was having participants at their healthcare site complete our questionnaire and return it for compensation, and really addressing any questions they may have of how intensive the data collection might be, what the timeline is, what the compensation is, what their involvement might be, et cetera. And for those who were still interested and willing to participate, we would go to the next step, which was actual training. So we sent each individual site a box containing all of the questionnaires for their participants in English as well as Spanish, informed consent forms, vouchers for payment, any recruitment materials we thought would be necessary, such as flyers to display in their healthcare site, as well as the materials to return the boxes to us. And the training was involved with data collectors who, again, were recruited for the study. It was a by phone training, and we would explain to them pretty much step by step the process of recruiting participants, administering the surveys, collecting them, and then returning them to us. So again, this just sort of outlines what our actual national data collection wound up being in terms of site or state as well as frequency of sites there.
Okay. So this is just an overall outline of once our healthcare site was on board with participating in the project and were confirmed and had received all of their materials, this is what happened after that in order to recruit the actual participants within each healthcare site. So we would work with the healthcare site administrators to determine a data collection coordinator, and this individual played two roles in the project. They were responsible for administering questionnaires to both the healthcare provider participants as well as the office staff participants, and this individual was also responsible for recruiting the data collectors. And the data collectors were the individuals that were responsible for administering the questionnaires to only the patient participants themselves. And the patient participants are who we are focused on today. So as I said, each patient participant was responsible for completing a self-report questionnaire. And each questionnaire was composed of several measures. The two that we're focused on today are the demographic data questionnaire, which would ask questions would ask them to report things like gender, their age range, family income, ethnic background, those types of questions. And we also are focusing on the Tucker Culturally Sensitive Healthcare Inventory measure. And this measure was something that we developed in a previous project of ours in which we took the feedback from patient-centered focus groups and developed our items for our inventory that way. These are some sample items from the Tucker Culturally Sensitive Healthcare Inventory. We have it broken down here by the different subscales within the inventory. So for example, the patient would be given a statement saying, "My provider lets me know about illnesses and diseases common among people of my race or ethnicity." And they would be asked to rate on a scale how strongly they agree or disagree with that statement. And there's some other examples for you too.
So we had about over 1,400 patient data. Most of that was from urban healthcare sites, mostly because most of our healthcare sites recruited were from urban areas, as well as there were more population in urban cities. Below you see a table of means. Most of the overall patients rated their providers, office staff, and clinic environment as pretty agreeable that they do see cultural sensitivity. But for the rural sites, there were higher in the engagement of cultural sensitivity. So participants from rural sites actually experienced higher levels of perceived cultural sensitivity than from the sites from urban sites. So there was a couple of implications of our findings, one being that rural providers have a relationship with the community, so they probably better understand their patients' healthcare problems. And also, they may share a similar history and background, which means they can establish trust and rapport with their patients. Lastly, for our future directions in our study, we are determining some characteristics of why the healthcare sites in rural areas have more higher perceived cultural sensitivity. This is a preliminary data finding. Another future direction is refining the Tucker Culturally Sensitive Healthcare tool so that providers can actually use that to customize healthcare to each patient. And these are some references. Okay, thank you.